Well, it's so good to see you all on this bank holiday weekend. Never quite know what people are going to do on a bank holiday weekend, whether they're going to be away or stay. So good to see you. And if you are visiting with us, my name is David. I lead the team here. And I just want to say how thankful I am for just this church that does carry so many different balloons in different ways. I just found that really encouraging and inspiring. And just want to say that if you're not yet feel like you've got a part to play, please, we would love you to find your part in this team, in this adventure. That we're seeking to be on as a church as we try and not just receive the blessings from God, but share the blessings from God that he has given to us to help touch this city and beyond. And as part of that, we dig into the Bible each week. We take time just to open up. So don't worry if you don't haven't brought a Bible, just raise a hand. Someone's going to bring a Bible, put it in your hand. It will help you just to kind of see what we're looking at. We're in a series at the moment in Exodus. Before Easter, we looked at how the Israelites got set free from Egypt, and their journey to freedom was the series we were looking at before Easter. But now, just starting last week, we are still in Exodus, but kind of slowing down the pace a little bit and focusing on the Ten Commandments for a few weeks. And we are calling this series Set Free to Live Free. Set Free to Live Free. Exploring, okay, so God rescued his people. How now were they meant to live as free people? How are we meant to live as free people in light of the freedom that God has won for us? And this morning we're going to focus on the fourth commandment. We're going to talk about the Sabbath. But I want to read just from the beginning, from verse 1 of Exodus 20, just so we can see the context. Last week, if you were here, you'll remember that the context of these commandments is so important. So let's read together Exodus 20, verse 1 to 11. And God spoke all these words. This is page 77 and 78. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So, first commandment, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. You're thinking last week of God's love. You know, when you really love people, you're jealous for their love. God is a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. And then the bit we're going to focus on today. No, actually, one more command first. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And we looked at those three commands last week. So this week, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all the work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. And therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let me pray and ask God to help us as we unpack his word today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and I thank you for each one of us here. And Lord, we want to know more about you and what it means to follow you. So speak to us, Lord. Help me, help us. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Kenya, where I grew up, there is a Swahili proverb. I don't know much Swahili. In fact, this is the only Swahili proverb I know. And it goes like this. Haraka haraka, hakuna baraka. Haraka haraka, hakuna baraka. And it means this. Hurry, hurry, has no blessings. I love that proverb. I've always loved it since I first heard it when I was a young person. But I'll be honest with you, and if you know me, this will put a smile on your face, I've struggled probably most of my life to imitate it or to really let it sink deep into my heart. And I keep on having to learn to go at God's pace, not to rush ahead. In fact, I remember as another young person, my parents had lots of books lying around the house, and this one had a big spine called Margin. Even as a young person, I thought, that sounded good. So I remember picking it up one day, and I read just the beginning, and this is what it said at the beginning of this book. It said, marginless is being 30 minutes late to the doctor's office because you were 20 minutes late getting out of the hairdresser's because you were 10 minutes late dropping the children off at school before because the car ran out of petrol 2 blocks from the petrol station and you forgot your wallet. I thought I could relate to that. Margin, on the other hand, is having breath left at the top of the staircase, money left at the top end of the month, and sanity left at the end of adolescence. Marginless is fatigue. Margin is energy. Marginless is red ink. Margin is black ink. Marginless is hurry. Margin is calm. Marginless is anxiety. Margin is certainty, security. Marginless is culture. Margin is counterculture. Marginless is the reality, but margin is the remedy. Marginless is the disease of our time, but margin is part of the cure. You know, I read that and I thought, sounds great. I want more margin in my life. And even then, I'd struggle. Even knowing that I was thinking of sharing this week and speaking about the Sabbath, this week has been a full week. And so I'm thinking, maybe this is a week where I kind of jettison the kind of Sabbath principle I've developed in my life to help me. And I have to say, I didn't, but I was tempted, and I spotted the irony that it would be a daft thing to do as you prepare for a message on the Sabbath. You know, this command is a gift. It's a gift. Like we've been seeing, God's commands are given to us because he loves us. They take faith. They're not always easy, as we will see. But it's a gift. It's a blessing. And yet it's probably, this command, one of the most ignored or disputed, even amongst Christians. And interestingly, it is the one with the longest explanation. I don't know if you noticed that as we were just reading it through. So I want to ask you what I asked our missional community. We met on Wednesday night and we were talking about the Ten Commandments and the ones we looked at last week, but we spilled out into some of the others as well. So I want to ask you what I asked them. Do we need to keep the Ten Commandments? Do we need to keep the Ten Commandments? Well, I'll tell you this, we had a room full of us, but some thought yes and some thought no. And we had a great discussion. So do we need to keep the Ten Commandments? I don't know what you think. Do we reckon? Okay. I'm hearing some yeses. Maybe some others. I want to ask you, what about the fourth one? Do we need to keep the Sabbath? Do we need to keep the Sabbath? Do we need to keep the Sabbath and keep it holy? And we had a great discussion. I don't know what you think. We talked about last week's message. We talked about how the reality is that the keeping of the commandments doesn't save us. You don't need to keep the commandments to be saved, to be set free. To be God's people. These people were already God's people. They were already set free. And all the way through the Old and New Testament, we see it's what God has done for us that makes us who we are, not what we do for God. Keeping them doesn't make them God's people. It shows them that they are God's people, and it shows others that they are God's people. And as we saw and we were thinking about last week, our identity doesn't start with what we do. It starts with who God is and what he has done for us. So the people in our community who are like, yeah, no, no, we don't have to keep the commands, were like, yeah. And so maybe if you were thinking that, I want to affirm that our identity isn't wrapped up with whether we keep these commands or not. Our security, our salvation, depends not on what we do, but on what God does. So the commands don't need to be kept for our salvation, but they do need to be kept for our good and the good of others. And we had this time, I'm catching some of the people who were there in the room, where we had this kind of powerful moment where we thought, wow, actually, we so often think about those who break the Ten Commandments, but imagine all the people who've been helped or spared, or in some way good has come to them because these Ten Commandments have been kept. So we should want to keep them. We should try to keep them. As we're going to see through these series, Jesus picks up on the different things that are mentioned here and others, and he doesn't kind of just dismiss them. He challenges people in the way they're walking, and he brings back to these two main themes: that we should love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And as we saw last week, these first four commands get us thinking about how do we love God? How do we put God first in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, even in our diaries, in our calendars, in our weekly schedules? How do we put God in his rightful place? And so then if we're trying to keep them, if we recognize that they're for our good and that they're for the good of others, if we recognize that actually God does still want us to follow his commands, even though he knows that we cannot, by keeping them, save ourselves, and yet he still wants us to take them seriously. This is God's word for our good. So then the question comes, well, how? How are we to particularly keep this fourth commandment? What does it mean? And we wrestled with, you know, does it mean this or does it mean that? I mean, what does it mean to verse 8? Did you see what it says in verse 8? This is the nub of the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy? That's what I want us to explore this morning. That's what I want us to think about and reflect on. You see, the idea of a holy day is where we get the term holiday. So a holy day might get you kind of, whoa, but a holiday, you probably start smiling at. Basically, this command is a command for us to have a weekly holiday. That sounds good, does it not? A week. So what is a holiday, really? What is a holiday as it was originally meant to be? What is a holy day? Well, it's the word holy means set apart. It means distinct. We sometimes refer to this book. In fact, I think this version of it actually says Holy Bible on the front. It's a book that's set apart from other books. Distinct. So in what ways? In what ways is the Sabbath set apart? Well, the first one's up here on the screen. Do you want to read it with me? Set apart from the other days. So look with me. Verse 9 to 11 kind of unpacks, really, what it is for this day to be a holy day. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And maybe there are some for whom that's the word you just need to hear. That actually, the word about the Sabbath comes in the context of working. Work is good. 6 days you should labor. There's a goodness and a rightness about our work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor your foreigners residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. You see, the Sabbath day is to be different from the other days, set apart, distinct. The word Sabbath actually means stopping or stoppage. It's a sense of stopping what you usually do and doing something different. Resting from your usual labor. We need rest. Let me say it again.
We need rest. Physical rest, emotional rest, and most of all, spiritual rest. But by and large, we are rubbish at taking time to rest. And now, please again, don't hear me. Some maybe kind of have an idleness streak and they need to be encouraged to work. Please don't think that I'm saying that means rest is our greatest need or that work is bad. No, work is really good and work hard when you work. Rather, I want to say that rest is a crucial part of our working week. And if we're to walk and live as free people, walk and live as those who are set free to live free, we need to work out our rhythms. And we need to work out how to rest and how to lean into the Sabbath. One writer, Gordon MacDonald, in a book called Ordering Your Private World, writes this: if my private world is in order, it will be because I have chosen to press Sabbath peace into the rush and routine of my daily life in order to find the rest God prescribed for himself and all of humanity. We live in a world where increasingly, hey, you know what, I don't know, maybe like you, I've actually got my phone in my pocket. You know, you probably do too. We live in a world where we constantly get bombarded. You know, I deliberately make a choice not to have my emails on my phone so that I don't get my kind of work just invading like every part of my life and thinking with the pings and the alerts. And it's so hard, isn't it, to stay kind of in this time, to stay not just working when you're at home or when you're doing other things. We live in a 24/7 world, 24 shopping online. Hey, you remember back 25 plus years ago in 1994, there was a real big battle going on in Parliament about Sunday trading laws, about whether Sunday should remain a day which is basically a rest day for everyone, basically. There was always some people who had to do jobs and roles, and that's there even in the scriptures, even in the Old Testament on the Sabbath. But there was basically a day in our country where everyone rested. And actually there was a campaign at the time when they were looking to relax Sunday trading laws to say, no, let's keep Sunday special. Maybe many of you took part in it. But I read at the time that one of the things that they were highlighting, not just the value for our health of a regular weekly day off, but there's something of sharing in that. So they wrote this at the time: a shared day off is vital for our health as a society. Not having the same day off, they wrote each week, reduces the amount of time people can share with each other. As a result, the support that each partner can offer to the other is lessened, which has been shown to lead to poor physical and mental health. A lack of shared time off also increases strain on the family. There are implications for society from not having common day off. It increases the potential for people to become stressed and isolated. I don't know. Do you think back 25 years? I think we have a growing problem of stress, growing problem of mental health. The royals, the young royals, they've been doing quite a bit to highlight that. Encourage you. We have people in this church, as most churches do, who wrestle with issues of mental health. And I encourage you to talk about it. You know, it's a health problem like any other health problem. There's things that can be looked at to help it rather than make it get worse. And one of the things in our society is not just that issues of stress and mental health are growing, but isolation's growing. There's a goodness to this command, this encouragement to take a Sabbath. I was thinking about this and I felt I should just come clean with some of my struggles over the year to take a Sabbath. I have a tendency to go at pace. I was thinking about where does that sometimes come from. Maybe you can relate to this. I think sometimes it comes from pride. I think we can have a pride that wants to always do that bit more, to maybe do a bit more than others around us, you know. And this gets worse on social media. I'm not a big social media person, but you know, you kind of want to compare. We're very big into comparison. Even when you're on holiday, my holiday's got to be better than your holiday. You do a bit more. And actually, it's humility that enables us to rest. But sometimes it can be fear. Fear of we'll fall behind. Fear of missing out. That whole FOMO thing. Fear even of what will God think if I really rest, because we sometimes get it nuts way round in our mind that we think he wants to, he's like a slave driver that just wants us to keep going. Or maybe we actually, in kind of a pride way, even in our relationship with God, we can think, you know what, God, I know you're doing a great job, the Trinity and all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but I'm sure you're missing someone in it, and I think I could be the answer. I once heard someone say, your application to the Trinity has failed. All the positions are full. God is God. But I know that particularly in my early days working on staff here and being in ministry, I think I thought, probably like many of us do with God's commands, you know, that when there's a command that we don't feel we're really keeping that well, we kind of have a tendency to say, well, probably the command isn't really necessary. And we find and look for ways of saying, you know what, that command's probably outdated or old. And I think a lot of us do this with the Sabbath command. And so I had in my head, well, you know, it's probably, you know, I know my Gospels, there are those bits where Jesus does stuff on the Sabbath. So, you know, clearly Jesus thought the Sabbath wasn't important. And, you know, he clearly broke the Sabbath. And, you know, maybe as Christians, it's fine. And, you know, I didn't look into it much. I just kind of went along with that. But, you know, in 2004, the previous minister here, I was the assistant here, he said, I think deliberately because he knew I wasn't very good at this, he said, I'd like you to preach on the Sabbath. And I remember digging into it, and this was the verse that really hit me. And it hit me again on Easter weekend. On Good Friday, we read this verse. In Luke 23, verse 56. It's talking about the women, the brave women who didn't desert Jesus, who weren't afraid of the authorities, the brave women who followed Jesus and were committed to him. It says they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But read this bit with me. But to the commandment, they rested. I remember reading that and thinking, whoa, 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 whoa. They wanted to get to Jesus. We know that because they went early on the first day of the week. Early on the day after the Sabbath. We knew they weren't afraid of the authorities. We know that they were committed to Jesus. That's what's evident about these women. They'd been with him. So why did they bother? If Jesus was the one who, like I had thought, kind of dismissed the Sabbath. Don't worry about the Sabbath. Why did they bother? Could it have been that I got it wrong? Could it have been that as they'd spent time with Jesus, they didn't see him belittling the Sabbath, but rather valuing it and challenging those who were getting the kind of purpose of it wrong and helping people see how it really should be and what the purpose of was. So that when it came to the Sabbath, they weren't thinking, oh, we'll just break the commandment and do what we want to do. No, they were honoring God's word, following Jesus. And I want to say, folks, the Sabbath's a good command. That encouragement to rest can help us stay focused. I think even runners, we got some runners here, and seeing a few, I know there's a few. I think even runners, you know, if you're running regularly, they encourage you. It's good to have a rest day. You know, I heard the story of two guys chopping wood. And one challenged the other, say, okay, let's see who can chop the most wood in a day. And one man had a kind of leisurely lunch, took several breaks in the day. And at the end of the day, the challenger who challenged him was annoyed to find that this other fellow had chopped substantially more wood. And he said, I don't get it. Every time I checked, you were taking a rest, and yet you chopped more wood than I did. The other man replied, but you didn't notice when I rested, I was sharpening my axe. You know, when we rest, it sharpens us, it refocuses us, it helps us to be restored, to remember who we are and what we were made and meant to be. One writer Gail MacDonald wrote in her diary once, "A glorious Lord's Day. I've been reading at length about the Sabbath. Feel more and more strongly that I've not fully utilized God's command to rest. It's not a rule that restricts, but it's a rule that liberates," she wrote. "For he made me to need rest, and physically and mentally we are freed to better performance if we live within his design specifications. And it is a day of reminding us who God is. Every seventh day I need to come back to that fixed center." You see, it's not a rule or law that restricts us. It's one that helps us live free. This is, as we saw last week, the law of liberty. And interestingly, in verse 10, it's very clear that this Sabbath principle should be one we don't just look to embrace for ourselves and think, "Well, I'm going to get a rest and you're going to do all the work." So look at it. It says in verse 10, "On the seventh day, have a Sabbath to the Lord. On your day you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter," so don't just pass it on to the children, "nor your male or female servants," so don't just pass it on to the servants, "nor your animals, nor your foreigners residing in your town." You don't just pass it on to someone else. I've been quite challenged by this, because it's easy now, isn't it? Well, the Sunday trading laws have all changed, so, you know, what does it look for me not just to think about Sabbath in my own life, but for the children? For those around me who are still made in the image of God, still need a rest. Shops and cafes. How do I, in this complicated world we now live in, seek to press and encourage Sabbath rest in those that I can influence? And in the church. What does this look like in the church? You see, one of the things about the Sabbath that I next want us to see is that the Sabbath is not just something that's to be different from the other days. It's a Sabbath. Did you notice verse 10, the beginning of that bit? But this is to be a Sabbath to the Lord. There's something about the purpose of the Sabbath, which is that it is set apart for a unique purpose to the Lord. This is the Lord's day. In fact, one of the reasons the early church started doing the Sabbath on the Sunday was because the Sunday was the day that the Lord rose from the dead. They referred to it as the Lord's day. So interestingly, the Jews would gather, a bit like we're gathering on the sort of Saturday, on what was the Sabbath in those in that custom. But the early Christians, as they spread, and as not just Jews became Christians, but Gentiles, they were wrestling with, well, what does it mean? Is it all about the day? Should we encourage everyone to keep the Saturday from this time till that time and all the things that had got surrounded with the Sabbath from the Jewish laws? Or was it actually about there being a day that's set apart from other days and about a day for the Lord? And actually, would Sunday, the Lord's day, the day when he rose from the dead, be a day we encourage people to set aside as a day of rest? Interestingly, in our culture, traditionally, a lot of us actually have a Saturday and a Sunday. Maybe there's something of both of those traditions that have waved their way into our, but we can easily, you know, just misuse both or work in both. The Sabbath has a sense of wonder. The Sabbath has a sense of being to the Lord, a sense that we are to be who we are because of who he is, that we're made in his image. And I want to encourage you folks that part of that is to come and worship and wonder. And there's a really brilliant appropriateness in what we're doing today. It has been a blessing for me just being here this morning. I imagine for many of you as well, there's a blessedness about coming and regaining our perspective. And I guess for many that Sabbath will be a today thing. And so I want to encourage you. I really believe gathering like this helps us do this principle of having a Sabbath to the Lord. You know, one of the things we want to do as a church is to transform our city and beyond as a movement of missionary disciples of the Lord Jesus. That's our vision. And as we've prayed as leaders, we really felt that these three things would help us grow as missionary disciples: to worship on a Sunday, to belong to a missional community, and to serve on a team. And so I want to encourage you. You're here worshiping on a Sunday. Great. Don't neglect it. Keep prioritizing it. I know we talked last week and many are connected with missional communities. If you want to find out more about that, do at the connections point. And then Tim and Sean were talking about serving on a team. But here's the wrestle. What about if some were to say, and maybe you could say, you know what, I can't serve on a team because Sunday's my Sabbath, my rest, David. How does this fit? What do we do? Well, I would say some of you really do need to look at how much you're doing on a Sunday. Some of you have spoken about this. I've said, look, you're not getting that Sabbath principle of rest in your life. You need to look, even on a Sunday, at how much you're doing, and you need to pace it. You need to work on your rhythms. But I know that one of the things that a bit like, do you remember the servants and the children? You know, sometimes we can come to a Sunday with a kind of Sabbath expectation. Well, I'm going to have a rest, and everyone else needs to be doing stuff to make it all happen. And actually, one of the ways we help this day be a replenishing day for people is by sharing the load, by sharing out the balloons. And actually, as Jesus taught about the Sabbath, he didn't say, on the Sabbath, you can't serve. In fact, exactly the opposite. He said, actually, the Sabbath is a great day for looking and seeing where you can serve. To seeing how you can help others to lift, to restore, to heal. And so I do want to say, please find your place so that we can be on this adventure together and do it as part of your worship. For many of you, it will be a very different type of thing than what you do the other days of the week. In fact, sometimes we say to people, if your job is sort of all the way through the week looking after kids, maybe you don't want to do the kids thing on a Sunday morning. You know, and certainly we don't want people to be doing things every Sunday morning. We want to give that flexibility and that freedom. Because the Sabbath is a time where we come and yes, we worship, yes, we rest, but we also do what we do to the Lord. We bring our lives and say, God, here I am. Particularly today. Any day, yes, but particularly today, here I am. A Sabbath to the Lord. You know, there's a wonderful verse in Isaiah 58 that really just presses this. In Isaiah 58, it says this, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by, read this with me, not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, but then you will find joy in the Lord and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. So there's something there of actually the Sabbath is not just a day to do as we please. Rest is not the same as leisure. Sometimes they can be the same. But a kind of view of a Sabbath which says this is my day to do what I like, that's actually not freedom. It's to do and live for God and for others, to really press into our relationships, to press into how we can serve one another. You know, one of the things on the Sabbath, not just in this time, but any time on that day, is to have a sense of, God, I wonder what I do today with you. I hope as you go through your days, but particularly as you go through whatever day you mark as your Sabbath, you say, God, I want to do what I do for you today, with you, for you. And having confidence that you can rest and stop from the other usual stuff you do because you know he's a God who provides. It's an amazing theme of the Sabbath, this trusting and delighting in God's supernatural and abundant provision that he is sufficient. Sabbath is like a faith step. It is a faith step. It's saying, no, God, you're sufficient. You're sufficient. So though that, you know, I could have got more done by just working on every day this week. Actually, what I need to remember is it's not about what I do. It's what God does. And on one of the days in this week, I can stop and I can say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm leaning into you. I remember as a student, that was a real wrestle for me. But I encourage you students, sometimes you get more done in your studies by saying, you know what, this day I'm not going to keep flogging myself that I should be doing more study. I'm going to actually rest in God, remember who I am, find a security in him. And maybe in your work or your manager, and that's when it gets challenging. You think, well, I need to do all, but no. Come and trust in God. Seize it as an opportunity for you to grow in faith and for those you want to influence to grow in faith by saying, yeah, you can trust God. You can put him first and God will add these things to you as well. You know, one of the bits it refers to back in Exodus 20 verse 11 is it says this, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. And then he rested on the seventh day." And this is the bit back in Genesis which refers to that. It says this, "By the seventh day God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day he rested from all his work." There's this setting of the Sabbath that reminds us that God is a God who completes things. He's the God who's working and he has this sense that he finishes the work that he's called to do. And I wonder, this sense of God finishing the work, whether that reminds you of anything. A great, amazing finished work. One that we've been thinking about this Easter. One when Jesus on the cross cried out in John 19 when he received this cup of vinegar on the cross. He cried out, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit. He died in our place. He, the Messiah, the Savior, declared, "It's done. The debt of my sin and your sin paid for. My breaking of the fourth command and of many of the other commands over the years in different ways. Done. Paid for." Not so I can say, "Well, now it doesn't matter. I'll just live as I please now." No, but so I can rest and say, "Wow, God, you are amazing. You have finished it. I can rest in what you have done, that you've provided. I can now follow you with freedom. Because you've set me free. How do I live free, Jesus? Oh, I follow your way. The way of love. The way that puts God first. My thoughts, word, and deed, and my calendar. The way that loves others as I love myself. I follow him and I come to him whose path is not a path that burdens me with things that are not fitting for me, but a burden that's light and easy. A good yoke." Jesus said in Matthew 11, I want to just end with this. He said this. He said, this is the Message translation, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Just trying to, out of fear or pride or appearance, trying to earn your way? Hey, it's not what it's about. Come to me," Jesus said. "Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. You keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Jesus said he is the Lord of the Sabbath. In fact, he said it in the very next bit of Matthew, Matthew 12. He is the Lord of the Sabbath because he's the giver of rest. The thing we most need is Jesus. And Jesus invites us to particularly have a day where we remember that, where we come to him, but know that he wants to come to us. He wants us to draw near, to turn to him. And I heard this week someone say, you know, when we've been disobeying God or we're going through a challenging situation or a disappointing time, we have a choice. Either we can keep turning away from God. You say, "You know what, this is going to be too difficult. Working out how the Sabbath's going to work in my life. Too difficult. I've made such a mess of it. Too difficult. I'm just going to keep turning away." Or we can turn into God. And say, "God, I'm sorry. I don't know how to make this work, but I need you more. I don't know how to get through what I'm going through, but I need you more." Hey, brothers and sisters, friends, let's turn into God. Come to him. So let's bow our heads. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. And maybe, Tim, you could just, as you're ready, just lead us in this song. But as the band are just preparing and playing, let me lead you in prayer. Let me just give space to you. To reflect. How are you doing at remembering the Sabbath day? Keeping it holy. Set apart to the Lord. Where's Sabbath in your life? But how even are you helping others keep the Sabbath around you? Maybe like what I've had to do, you just need to come and say, Jesus. You may even want to echo this in your heart. Jesus, I am sorry for where I've ignored or broken your good commands that are for my benefit. Thank you for Jesus, for his finished work on the cross. I want to turn to you, Lord Jesus, to receive from you. Come fill me. Come bring your rest into my soul. Please, Jesus, I want to follow you. Help me. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.